A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
A Netflix comedy special. Empty seats fill a large multi-level arena. Trevor Noah, a slim man with light brown skin and a small afro, steps onto the stage and takes a mic from a stand.
Potatoes. Z. Potatoes. Baby.
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 Can I hear it without the house for a second?
Yep. Yep. Yep.
All those who try.
All right, bring it all in.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the red corner.
South Africa.
Yep. Yep.
All
in the red corner.
I've had so many. So many.
Merc.
Yep. 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 Yep.
As a merc.
As a merc.
All of them.
Now I got it. It's not a question.
As a place.
Whether.
So many.
But rather of how.
I've tried.
Now we got to know that yes.
I know.
Yes, we can.
He laughs with a crew member wearing a mask.
Where are all the people? Why are there no people here? What do you mean I'm early?
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Trevor stands gazing out at the empty arena with a warm smile. He wears an all-black outfit with light-colored sneakers. People fill the arena. The title appears. Trevor Noah, I Wish You Would.
What's going on, Toronto, Canada? How you doing, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming out. We made it. Oh, we made it. This is so amazing. What a long time. It has been too long, too long. But we're back. And it's so good to see you all again. Oh man, I've missed this. I've missed this so much. I've missed going around the world. I've missed people's languages and cultures. We just did Europe as well. It was so fantastic. One of my dreams came true. I got to go to Switzerland for the first time. One of my dreams. If you don't know this about me, I'll tell you why it was such a big dream of mine, right? My mother is a black woman, Xhosa woman, from South Africa. I grew up in South Africa, right? Molweni, molweni. My dad is a Swiss man from Switzerland, white man, right? And so I never got to go to Switzerland. And then when I got the chance, I never really made the time, and then I couldn't go there. And then finally now, we went to Switzerland for the first time, and it was liberating. You know, because here's the thing. My whole life, I've always felt like my dad didn't really love me, okay? And then now, when I went and met him in Switzerland, I was like, no. He's just Swiss. They're all like that. It was a bit weird, though. It was a bit weird. I tried to surprise him, though. Right? I tried to surprise him by learning German. We hadn't seen each other for a while. And because he speaks German, I thought I was going to surprise him on the trip. You know, I went on Duolingo, did a bunch of studying. And I got to Germany, got to, like, practice the whole thing, got to Switzerland. I was like, oh, this is it. And I was ready. I was like, I'm gonna surprise my dad. I planned to get to his house, knock on the door. He was gonna open and be surprised, like, oh, Trevor. And then I'd be like, Papa, ich spreche Deutsch. He was gonna be like, oh, ich liebe dich. Be like, ah, die net, oh, 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 oh. It was gonna be a whole thing. I had it all planned out. Didn't go according to plan. I got there. He was surprised. He was happy. But as soon as I spoke, I was like, Papa, ich spreche Deutsch. And he was like, don't do that. Don't do that, huh? No, don't do that. No.
He grins and paces.
Learning German has been a weird journey for me. You know? Cause I mean, I want to speak it because most of my family speaks it on my dad's side. But I've learned a few things about my German which haven't been great. I was in Germany visiting some extended family in a place called Cologne. Beautiful city. If you've never been, you should go. Stunning, stunning place. And one of my friends, Rolf, was with me in the city, right? And so one day Rolf turns to me and he's like, Trevor, you know, today maybe we should go have a traditional German meal, yeah? You want to eat something traditionally German? Yeah, we're going to take you, okay? And I was like, oh, that sounds amazing, Rolf. What are we gonna have? He's like, okay. Have you heard of Subway? So I don't think that's German, Rolf. He's like, 9999. I'm just saying to understand the chain, right? Where you're going to be having the sandwiches and you are having the bread and you are choosing the toppings. I was like, yeah, no, Subway works, man. He's like, okay. So I want to take it to a German version, yeah? Better than that, better. Like with the best bread and the best meat, you have to go. And so he took me and he wasn't lying. And so we go to the sandwich shop. It's like 50 years old. Everything is in German. We walk in and I was like, oh, this is it? Might not be my dad's house, but this is where I can practice my German. And my friend Rolf looks at me, he's like, Trevor, would you like me to order? I was like, no, Rolf, I'll order the food. He's like, okay, you're going to buy the food? I was like, no, you're gonna buy, I just wanna order it. I just wanna practice my German. He's like, but they might not understand you, yeah? Because you know German can be different. I was like, yo, I got this, Rolf, I got this. So I walk up to the counter. The woman was really friendly as well. She's like, guten Tag, kann ich dich helfen? And I was like, guten Tag!
He points forcefully.
Ich will ein klein Brotchen haben, bitte schön. Das schwarze Brotchen mit der Käse. Und das Schinken, bitte schön. Und gib für mich ein Pepsi-Cola, danke.
He wears a frozen, grimacing smile.
And she shat herself. I'll never forget the look in that woman's face. She was petrified. She stared at me and she was like, der schwarze Hitler. Which means the black Hitler. Yeah. The way I inflect on certain words has a certain Führer feeling to it, apparently. I was devastated. Rolf thought it was hilarious. The whole ride home, we're in the car, he's killing himself. Oh mein Gott, der schwarze Hitler. Trevor, can you imagine if Hitler was black? It totally wouldn't have worked, yeah?
Trevor frowns and gives a sidelong look.
Like, Rolf, it's not that funny. I tried to learn German to connect with my family, and now I sound like one of the worst human beings in history. He's like, yeah, but it was totally funny. You should have seen yourself. It's like you were about to invade the meat section. Oh, my God. Oh, you should have. I was like, Rolf, it's not cool, man. I'm in pain right now. He's like, calm down, Trevor, calm down, yeah? Indulge me mein Schadenfreude, okay? He actually taught me a new word that day. Yeah, never heard it before. Schadenfreude, German word, Schadenfreude, right? It means to take great joy in the pain and suffering of others. Fun fact, that word was never translated into another language. I wonder why. Pretty insane word, right? Schadenfreude, why would you want that? To indulge in others' pain and suffering. Why would you? You know, but then when I thought about it, I was like, it sounds terrible, but we all do it. Yeah, every single one of us in this room, we all experience Schadenfreude. You know? We all do. You know when you have Schadenfreude? It's when you're driving on the highway, yeah, and you're cruising along, everything's going well, and you look over on the other side, and the traffic is packed up. And you get that little feeling inside, like, I made the right choices in life. That's Schadenfreude. You know what Schadenfreude is? Schadenfreude is what happened when black women saw middle-aged white men crying after Disney said they were changing the Little Mermaid. That's Schadenfreude. That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Grown men crying. This is ruining my childhood. They changed the Little Mermaid. She looks nothing like the original. Nothing? She looks nothing like the original, really? Nothing? There is nothing that reminds you of the original Little Mermaid when you look at her.
Nothing at all. You realize the only thing that changed is the color of her skin. This part of the color of her skin. The hair's red. The body is fish. That doesn't remind you of the Little Mermaid? That was the main thing that you recognized in the Little Mermaid? Really? You know what Schadenfreude is? Schadenfreude is what everybody from Ireland and Kenya and Trinidad and Jamaica and South Africa and India all felt when the news came out and said, the royal family has bad news.
He bends slightly at the waist and cracks up.
People don't understand. People were like, no, are you laughing at this? Are you laughing at this? It's like, yes, first of all, but you're misunderstanding it, right? The royal family always gets sensitive about people responding to their bad news, but they don't seem to understand that's not really bad news. Every time the royal family wants us to feel sorry for them, is it really bad news? Huh? They'd be like, please, we ask you for your sympathy right now. We have lost Harry and Meghan. You've lost them? Like they're missing? No. Your favorite British couple has now become your favorite American couple. The royal family has bad news. Is it bad news? Yes, it is. The Queen has died. Died of what? Finishing life. Are you kidding me? I'm not saying someone shouldn't grieve, but she finished life. Do you know how many human beings don't get to do that? She finished it. She died as queen. Died of what? Old age. That means you finished the game. Done. Credits are rolling. Buried with the jewels. Hashtag winning. You want the colonies to be sad? Those are their jewels. Africans were like, can we have our diamonds back? They're like, no. The queen takes them with her. You kidding me? People are like, well, I mean, this is not the time to be talking about her. You shouldn't be saying bad things about her. It's not, you shouldn't be speaking ill of the dead. No, that's exactly what you should do. Yeah, the perfect time to talk shit about people is when they're dead, right? Can we agree on this in society? Maybe we should start being nicer to each other when we're alive and let's talk shit when people die, right? Do that for me, people. Do that. When I'm dead, say whatever you want about me. When you see me in the streets, just say hi.
He gives a thumbs up.
You know why? Because I'm gone.
Like, these people are there and they're dancing on her grave.
Yeah, that's what graves are made for. That's why they made them flat. The whole point was that people could come and dance on them. Otherwise, they would have made them slanted so you would slide off. And even in that, the queen is winning. She's got some of the best dancers dancing on her grave. Huh? Can you imagine the Africans coming in and they're just there, huh? Doing their thing. And the Irish are like, we're up next. Hey, oh, save us some space on the grave.
He does a dig.
You've got the Indians coming in. Now it's our moment.
He moves his head from side to side.
Finally, everyone from the Caribbean. Murder, she wrote.
He bends his knees and lightly stomps one foot.
Give it up.
He cracks a wide smile as he paces across the stage. He unscrews the cap of a water bottle resting on a stool.
One of my favorite things I used to love doing was watching horror movies and then judging people when they made stupid decisions.
He takes a sip.
I love it. I watch horror movies, I wait for people to make stupid decisions, and then when they die, I'm like, you deserved it. Never makes sense. Never. You know, it'd be someone being chased with like a guy in a mask and he's got a knife, right? Guy's walking, person runs to their car, they always fumble with the keys.
He bobbles the mic.
Dad, what are you doing? What are you doing? If someone's chasing you with a knife and you get to a car, don't bother getting in, it's a waste of time. All you do is just run to the side of the car, and then you wait.
They go that way, you go this way. You go that way, you go this way. Yeah, we can do this shit all day.
He scurries back and forth, then paces.
People make the dumbest decisions in horror movies. I don't get it. My favorite is when people just have to hide. That's all they have to do. They just have to hide and shut up. For an hour and a half, they can't do it. Like in that movie, A Quiet Place. Have you watched that? One of my favorite movies of all time. Yeah? The one with the aliens. They don't see anything. They just use echolocation to figure out where everyone is.
He makes quick, jerky movements.
There's always the people hiding in the shed, just there, like.
You just have to be quiet, you can just chill. Don't just be there, chilling. To be sitting there playing Xbox quietly. No. There's always that baby. And there'll always be the moment where you can see the monster's given up. You know? The moment where the monster's like.
He cocks his head, then shrugs.
And just as it's about to leave, just as it's about to go, there's always one idiot who jumps up like, I can't take it anymore! Come get me! Ah, pshaw, dead.
You deserved it.
Because I never got it, right? I never understood. Why? All you have to do is wait. You just stay inside for long enough and the danger will subside. Why can't you do it? Why is it so hard to just stay inside? And then the pandemic hit.
He stares, wide-eyed and open-mouthed.
I was like, now I get it. Because we all hit our breaking point. Pandemic made people crazy. I thought we were all gonna come together. That's what I believed. From all the movies I watched as a kid, I thought if humans were ever threatened with an existential threat, we would abandon every single fight we were having, and we would come together to win. You know? I thought if that virus came, we'd all be there. We'd be like, all right, no more racism. No more sexism. Let's do this together. And we'd go and we'd defeat the enemy aliens, and then we'd come back and be like, all right, let's get back to the racism and sexism. It's like an Independence Day. That's what happened, remember? Yeah, that's what I grew up watching. Everyone in the world came together to fight the aliens. We stopped all of our... There was no politics. There was no nothing. We unified and we won. And then in real life, what do? We fought each other and we lost. We were supposed to be a team. Will Smith was supposed to be our hero.
He shakes his head.
None of it went as planned. I wonder if that's how the dinosaurs went out, you know? Maybe they just couldn't agree on anything. Maybe some warned the others. They were like, there's an asteroid coming down to Earth. Other dinosaurs were like, asteroids are not real. It's a hoax. That rock smashed into the planet. Dust covered the globe. All the dinosaurs were running around in panic. Ah, the dust is everywhere. Wear a mask. The T-Rex was like, I can't!
He bends his elbows, flailing his hands close to his chest.
You know what's so crazy is, I thought the pandemic was gonna ravage Africa the worst. Yeah, I won't lie, I was terrified. I was terrified for the African continent. You know, my whole life, I'd seen whenever there was a virus that broke out in the world, if it got to Africa, we got it the worst. I remember when it started spreading around the globe, I was getting ready for it. My friends from home were calling me on the phone. They're like, Trevor, are you seeing what's happening with coronavirus, my man? Are you seeing it? I was like, yeah, I'm seeing it, man. They're like, what do you think is gonna happen? I was like, oh man, you guys are screwed, man. Like, yeah, you guys. I was like, yeah. I'm in America, baby. I made the right choices in life. So Turns out it was the other way around. Pound for pound, Africa did better than any other continent in handling the disease. Shocked everyone. What was even wilder was this. When Ebola was happening in Africa, the news always made it seem like it was Africans' fault for having Ebola. Right? Every time you'd watch the news, there was always a subtle level of blame that was happening in the news reports, right? It didn't humanize the people. It would always be someone random on like Sky or on the BBC. They'd be standing there. There'd be dead bodies piled up behind them. They'd be like, Sarah, I'm standing here in West Africa, where as you can see behind me, the bodies of Ebola victims are piling up. Many European scientists are asking if, unfortunately, these Africans have themselves to blame. They've been refusing the advice of the World Health Organization, not understanding the importance of distancing from each other during this time, and it appears that they only have themselves to blame. Dilimpan, BBC, back to you in the studio. And I would watch this and I'd be like, no, Africans, why do we do this to ourselves? Why, Africa, why? Why do we love doing this to ourselves? Why do we like kissing monkeys? The lips are so sexy. And then when COVID came, Africans used everything they had learned from every virus that they had to fight without the help of the West, and they dealt with it better than any other continent. Didn't get credit, by the way. Everyone made it seem like it was luck. That's where the world is lucky that Africans aren't spiteful. Yeah. Africans aren't spiteful people. Because I would have given anything to just see one African news anchor come out and be like, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the African News Network. Tonight, we are covering the ongoing coronavirus pandemic that is ravaging the Western world. Many African scientists are asking if these people do not have themselves to blame. Many of them have refused the advice of the World Health Organization, completely ignoring the social distancing measures. Some of them have even had to be shown how to wash their own hands. Savages. It appears what has been increasing the severity of this problem is the fact that some of them do not even want to wear masks across their face, saying, quote, I cannot breathe through this piece of cloth.
He pretends to read.
This is commonly known by scientists as bitch-ass lungs syndrome. Back to you in the stereo, Chipua.
I would have given anything to see that. One of the biggest side effects of COVID that I didn't expect is how stupid it would make human beings. Yeah, there's one thing coronavirus did. It taught me how many of my friends are absolute idiots. Everyone studied at the University of Facebook. Everyone's a scientist. Everyone had a conspiracy theory. You know what happened here? The government did this. Oh, the government did this? Yeah, the government did this. Why? To control us. You thought this gave them control? You think governments wanted this? Which do you think gives a government more control? A population that goes to work, earns money, buys things that they can't really afford, so get into debt, so they have to go back to work, do more of the thing they don't really like, to get more money to pay the debt for the thing that they didn't really need, for the thing that they didn't need to afford, to get more money to go to the job, for the thing they don't like, for the thing that they didn't need to buy, to get the loan, for the money, for the thing that they didn't want, to get into more debt, to get the thing that they don't want, to go to the job that they don't need, for the money. But which do you think gives them more control, that? Or everyone just sitting at home with free money thinking about life? Everyone just sitting at home like, how come a weekend's only 2 days? It's the government's worst nightmare. Conspiracies were stupid. And here's the thing, I'm not against conspiracy theories, right? Please understand that. I actually like a good conspiracy theory. In fact, I think everybody should hold one. I think in your life, you should hold at least one good conspiracy theory.
Yeah, keeps you on your toes. Don't just trust everything everyone tells you. You gotta have one. Like mine, my personal favorite. I believe that gluten is concentrated white privilege. You know I'm right. But COVID, oh man, the conspiracies were ridiculous. Especially because I know what really happened. All right, that's what frustrated me. No, I do. I knew exactly what caused COVID. I saw it coming and I didn't say anything. My bad, by the way. Yeah, it was too much wishing. We wish too much. I saw it coming. You know, when I was young, wishing was something that was special. Didn't happen that much. You had to have a special set of circumstances in order for you to make a wish. You'd find a clover with the right amount of leaves. Huh? There'd be a star shooting. Where? There. Too late. Oh, it had to be your birthday. They'd bring out the candles. And if you blew them all out, you could make a wish. And if you missed any, you died. But then people just started wishing for anything, huh? Find an eyelash on their cheek, make a wish. Do you know how many of these shits are on your face at any given time? People started just wishing on like the time, right? And be like, 11:11, make a wish. That's every day. Twice a day if you live on this side of the world because people don't like big numbers. You can't wish every day. That's not a special occasion. But people did it. People were wishing, 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 everywhere you went. Even rappers got involved. Oh, I wish a nigga would. Would what? You can't just leave it open-ended. And that's how we got COVID. All our wishes came together, and they all came true at the same time. And that's what we got. Yeah, because COVID was essentially like an asshole genie that gave us everything we asked for. We all wished. How many people were rubbing that lamp at the beginning of 2020?
He rubs an invisible lamp.
Just wishing away like, oh, I wish I didn't have to go into the office every day. Oh.
Your wish is granted.
Yeah, you wished not to go into the office. You forgot to wish that the office wouldn't come into your house. Now you were stuck every day on Zoom, can't blink, gotta make constant eye contact.
He gives a wild-eyed grin.
Had to find the one corner of your house that made it look like you had your shit together. Everybody wished. And boy, we got what we wished for. How many parents were rubbing that lamp? Wishing away. Oh, I wish I could spend more time with my kids. Oh.
Your wish is granted.
Yeah. A lot of parents realize the only reason you like your kids is because you only know them part-time. You meet them in the morning, you send them off, you tuck them in at night. It's a pretty sweet gig. But then the next thing you know, everyone was trapped indoors, 24/7. Ooh, it was so fun to watch the parents flip. It was so fun. Remember at the beginning, all the parents were there. They're like, you will not open the schools. My children are not going anywhere. I will protect them at all costs. I'm a mama bear and I'll protect my cubs. You hear me? You will not open the schools until the virus is gone.
9 months later.
Those same parents were there screaming on the stoop. When are the goddamn schools opening? You can't expect me to spend all day with these kids. Who am I, their mom? They should be in school. The kids were there like, but mommy, there's a new variant out there. Listen, Timmy, listen, at some point you're gonna have to see what you're made of, okay? Either your lungs are gonna make it or they ain't. All right, buddy? Now get on out there and see what you're made of, all right?
If Simba could do it, so could you. Hakuna Matata. Go on, buddy. Go on.
We all wished.
How many couples out there were wishing?
He scans the audience.
Rubbing away at that lamp, looking into each other's eyes. Like, damn, girl, I wish I could be locked in a room with you all day. Girl, I wish they would lock us up and throw away the key, the things I would do to you. Oh, yeah? What would you do to me? Girl, I wish they would tell us we could only see each other all day. All day.
Your wish is granted.
A lot of couples learned a lot during the during the pandemic. A lot of couples learned a lot during the pandemic. A lot of people realized that love may be unconditional, but like has a time limit. Because I love you, baby. I just don't know if I like you anymore. It all started as so much fun, remember? Oh, in the beginning, it was like a sleepover. Oh my God, this is so much fun. And then the weeks turned into months. The months turned into years. And at some point, you'd be sitting in the house with a glaze over your eyes. And you'd hear them coughing on the other side. And you'd be like, yes. Oh, yes, Jesus. Take them now, Lord. If it's their time, it's their time. Let thy will be done, Lord Jesus. I could use the extra office space.
You know, one of the things that saddens me the most about the world we live in is that we oftentimes don't have the luxury to process the whys. We know that things happen. We feel the things happening to us. But oftentimes, we don't make the time or we don't have the time to process the why. Why were we so angry? Why did we fight each other so much? We had no compassion for each other. We were the worst of ourselves. And you know, if you ask me, it's because we were scared. As humans, we become so comfortable knowing that we forget how uncertain life is. We get taught every single day that we know. We get comfortable knowing, so you think you'll always know. What's the traffic gonna be like? You know. What's the weather gonna be like? You know. Oh, it'll rain on Thursday. You understand what a magic trick that is? If you had that technology 500 years ago, you were like, oh, it'll rain on Thursday. People would be like, kumba ding dang ginga wan dang ginga kumba ding dang
ginga wan ka ding dang kumba wan. He briefly bends his knees and holds out his hands.
We take that for granted, but it's also made us forget that life is uncertain. We don't know. The pandemic showed it. It exposed every single one of us. And I think the thing that we didn't take a moment to think about is the why. Why were we so angry? Why were we so frustrated? It wasn't because of movies. It wasn't because we couldn't go out to parties. It wasn't because we couldn't go to the mall or any of that shit. It's because we lost each other. I lost you. You lost me. We lost this.
He brings his fingertips together.
You know? That's the real thing people were frustrated about. And what made it worse was that governments made it seem like they knew. I think that's the thing that made it worse. They were so confident. They made it seem like they knew. They said it would be 21 days. 21 days. I will never forget that number. Because we didn't ask why. Right? We heard China building a 10,000-person hospital overnight. None of us asked, why? We were just like, ah, China. They love building shit. I remember how confident world leaders were as well. Some more cocky than others. One of my favorites was Prime Minister of the UK, Boris Johnson. Yeah, he was an interesting one. He went to a hospital during the pandemic and he was hugging people. Like right at the beginning, he was hugging people, going around hugging people. Journalists asked him, they're like, Prime Minister Johnson, do you think it's appropriate for you to be hugging people during a pandemic? He's like, first of all, everyone needs to calm down. This is not a pandemic. This is not a pandemic. Look at my hair. Do I look stressed? Everybody needs to calm down. Nothing. Everything is fine. Well, I can touch people. We're not shutting down. Everything's staying open. The pubs are staying open. The football's staying open. Well, if you excuse me, I have to go. This is gone. You can give a shit. Huh? America's president. Oh, he was even cockier. Yeah. You see him when he came out, Donald J. Trump? Oh, he had all the swag. He was like, folks, we're gonna have it handled. In 21 days, the virus will be gone, 21 days. Some are even saying 20. That disease came and kicked Trump and Boris deep in the chest. Both men went to the ICU, almost died. Only reason they survived is because they're both heads of state. They gave them that secret juice. Boris, to his credit, he came out of that hospital like he had seen Jesus. He came from the hospital, held a press conference, shut everything down. He came there barely dressed. He was like, everybody, this is not a joke. I've seen it for myself. The UK shutting down. Please, the football's gone. The pubs are gone. Do not take this lightly. I've experienced it myself. I promise this is not fun. I can't talk to you. I have to go. Please, I can't talk. I have to. And he was just gone. Gone. That man was terrified. I was half expecting coronavirus to come around the corner like.
He makes quick jerky movements and cocks his head.
Trump, on the other hand, didn't give a damn. That man will die from being stubborn. He came out of the hospital, could barely breathe, but still held a press conference. Didn't even speak, he was just like.
Trevor narrows his eyes and pooches out his lips. He alternates between giving a thumbs up and a wave.
If I can do it, so can you.
Oh, man.
He wipes his face with a cloth.
I honestly don't get how anybody voted for that man. I really don't get it.
He takes a sip of water.
And by the way, I don't mean politically, right? I understand. People will vote for the politics they want to vote for. I get that. What I don't understand is why people voted for him. What was even crazier was that some people voted for him and then were disappointed by who he was. That was the craziest thing I've ever seen. People were there like, I can't believe what he's doing right now. I just can't believe what he's doing. I'm sorry, you can't believe what's happening? Donald Trump, can you believe this? Can I believe that he's doing the exact same thing he's been doing for his whole life? Yeah, I can't believe this. There's a shock. You're shocked? Donald Trump is the least shocking human being I've ever come across in my life. He is consistently being himself. The man is a cliched villain. Looks like a villain, talks like a villain. Like, he looks like he should be in a Scooby-Doo episode. With that face, with that vibe, you could see him in the lineup when they're trying to solve the crime. Who do you think it is, Scoob? He'd be like, oh, it wasn't me, I'll tell you that much. He was like, I didn't do anything, I'm innocent. He'd be like, I'm innocent, so innocent. Some say the most innocent man who's ever lived. He'd be like, yeah, I think it's that guy. I just don't get it. Why would you vote for? I mean, I get it, but I don't understand. Because what I get, and I've realized, is in the United States of America, if you want to win an election, all you need to have is a strange voice. Simple as that. You want to be president of the United States? Get a strange voice, you're done. Yeah, forget policies, forget ideas, that's boring. You come out there, here are my ideas, boo! Normal sounding ass bitch. No. You come out there with a strange voice, the people love it. You realize there's been no American president who has a normal speaking voice. None. Now, you can go back as far as you want. None of them spoke normal. None. Now, go back as far, like, who, like JFK. JFK, he didn't speak normal. He had that thing, it was like, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. That's not normal. I don't care what anybody says, that's not normal. You telling me that man was standing in a McDonald's ordering food with that voice? Because they're like, could I please get a number one medium with fries? And I'll also have a McFlurry, please. What do you mean the ice cream machine is broken? That's not normal. No American presidents speak normal, none. Bill Clinton, he didn't speak normal. He always did that thing where it sounded like he was trying to seduce the audience. You know?
He'd be like, I do not have sexual relations.
He bites his lower lip and winks.
With that woman.
What are you doing? No American president spoke normal, none of them. George Bush, he didn't speak normal. He always did that weird chuckly thing. He'd be like, gonna find the people that did this. And then we're gonna bomb a totally different country. Fool me once. That's not normal. No American president spoke normal, none. Barack Obama, he didn't speak normal. He always did that thing where it sounded like his voice was buffering.
As Americans, we gotta try to get a faster internet.
That's not normal. Joe Biden, he doesn't speak normal. Are you kidding me? He just like fades into mumbles every time he gives a speech. It's not normal. He'll be up there and be like, that's why the most important thing to understand is my pain comes from me.
No dreams are defined. We're the finest Negroes. Come on, man. Come on. Hey. I mean it. Come on.
That's not normal. Trump, that was the weirdest of all. Every other American president is predictable. You know, you understood the ebb and flow. Trump, you never knew what to expect. Right? The volume on his voice all over the place, inflection where it didn't make sense. Do you know how hard it was to figure out where to put the volume on your TV when watching a speech? I had to sit there and write it like a shitty DJ the whole time as you speak, because you wouldn't know where it would happen. He'd be up there.
I think as Americans, we try and try, so try, big trying, all trying, and it is but I know, and I think, if we can, we can, what we won't, but we will, but maybe, but.
What? It's not normal. That's why I laugh whenever I come to Canada and watch your news. Every time I come to Canada, I turn on the news and they'll be like, there's a Canadian scandal happening. Justin Trudeau in another scandal. He has the most adorable scandals. You kidding me? Compared to American presidents, what? And they're like, he's scandalous. Has he been convicted of anything? Then shut the hell up. And be like, he's scandalous. He's got the terrible, he slept at a rich man's house. Oh, that's adorable. My favorite scandal of Justin Trudeau's by far is the one where he went on a trip to India and then became Indian. That has to be one of the greatest scandals of all time. I remember when it broke, he took off. He was wearing a suit, he left Canada, waving on the plane, goodbye, goodbye everybody, goodbye. Got on, flew to India, landed, doors opened, and he came out, and he was already half Indian. He had the jacket on. But what was crazy was that as the trip progressed, he became more and more Indian each day.
clearly no one was telling him what was happening on the news in Canada, because Canadians were losing it. They're like, this is disrespectful. How can you do this, eh? And he was out there, and he was just becoming more and more Indian. It started with the top, and then he went down to the pants. He had the full outfit, and then he had the headdress. My favorite was when he walked into a meeting with Indian dignitaries, and they were all wearing suits.
His wide eyes dart back and forth.
This man walked into that meeting looking like he was about to audition for Bakban. You're like, what the hell is this? He was getting so Indian that I was hoping a moment would come where he'd be like in the middle of a speech, and I was just hoping suddenly he'd be like, can I just say how proud I am of the work we've done together as Canadians and as Indians? We.
He pinches his fingers and steps from side to side.
I was hoping that would happen. I was waiting for it.
The biggest scandal of all time.
He became Indian.
I don't think it was that bad. I just think he tries too hard, to be honest. You know, I think Justin Trudeau tries too hard to show he's compassionate, tries too hard, you know? I don't think it's that bad. And look, I'm biased. I know I'm biased. I am. Because I too have Trudeau'd. I'll confess it here tonight. I too have Trudeau'd, Canada. I too have tried too hard to connect with a group of people, and it did not go well. My story happened in Edinburgh, Scotland. Beautiful place. If you've never been, go. Stunning. Everything. The place is full of history. The people are lovely and warm. The place isn't, but the people are. Everything is old. They love telling you that. Everywhere you'll go in Edinburgh, people will be like, oh, how old do you think that bridge is? You'll be like, I don't know, they're like 300 years old. You'll be like, oh, okay. They'll be like, that church, 500 years old. Meet my son, 800 years old. He looks six, aye, Scottish workmanship. But there were wonderful people. It was really great out there. And we were there for a comedy festival, okay? And what I do whenever I'm traveling is, if I get to be in the same place as my friends, we try and spend as much time together, and what we'll do is we'll order like food or we'll go out, and when we do that, we allow one person to designate the meal. Nobody negotiates, everybody gets to pick a day. And so whenever my day comes around, consistently, I pick Indian food, all right? Yeah, I think it's the best cuisine in the world. Nothing comes close. You don't agree with me? Let's meet in the parking lot, we can fight. I love Indian food, loved it my whole life. And so we're in Edinburgh, I'm with my friends, they're like, where are we going? Trevor, what do you say? I'm like, Indian food. They're like, every time? I was like, yes, every time Indian food. I'm like, oh, it's the same. I'm like, then why do you keep asking me? If you know, you know. Stop asking me. And I searched. I searched for where we were gonna go, because I always try and find the most authentic Indian restaurant I can find. Like, I mean, like, authentic Indian restaurants. Do you know what I mean? So what I'll do is I'll go to a place, and then I'll ask around. I'll ask people, I'll be like, where do you go? And then like, where the white people tell me, I don't go there. So I found this authentic spots, and I was so happy. Now, the reason it had to be so authentic, just so you understand a little bit of me. I grew up in South Africa, as you know, right? Now, what a lot of people may not know is that South Africa has one of the largest Indian populations outside of India. Right? One of the largest Indian populations outside of India. I know Canada's number one now. But when I was growing up, we had the single largest population of Indians outside of India. Yeah, so if India blew up, we were India. It was that close. And so I was lucky enough to grow up surrounded by Indian culture. Right? In fact, one of my best friends growing up was a little Indian boy by the name of Thiessen Pillay. And we were thick as thieves. I don't think you understand. Every single day we hung out together. We spent our recesses together. We were hanging out, eating everything together, everything. Because we had so many things in common, right? We met at the beginning of the school year and we had so many things in common. Like he liked running, I liked running. So, Thiessen and I would spend every day together. And our ritual was simple. We'd go to all the classes that we did, and then we'd meet at what we called break time. And at break time, we'd sit and we'd eat our lunch together. Now, our lunches were very different, all right? Because Thiessen would get a packed lunch from his mom every single day. I would get money from my mom to buy food from the school tuck shop, we called it, right? Cafeteria, all right? And so what we do is I'd go and I'd buy the food every single day. And it's like, because my mom couldn't cook, right? Well, she tried once, and I was like, don't do this ever again. This is child abuse. Just give me the money. So I would buy the food every day. Thiessen, on the other hand, had food that his mom made every single day. And every single day, the meal was curry. I know this because every day, we'd sit down together. Thiessen would open his little lunchbox. He would take out his little can of juice. He'd unwrap his sandwich. And there'd be little triangles cut out. And then he'd pull it out. He'd open the bread, look inside. And then he'd scream at the top of his lungs. He'd be like, curry! Damn it, mommy.
Trevor pouts and bites into an invisible sandwich.
Every day. Every day. We'd sit down. I'd have my food. He'd have his. He'd take the juice out of the box. He'd unwrap the sandwich. He'd look in between. He'd be like, curry! Damn it, mommy.
He pouts and eats.
Every single day, without fail, every day, mutton curry, lamb curry, potato curry, every curry you can imagine, but it was curry every single day. Curry! It was my favorite part of the day. Some days, I wouldn't even open my lunch for fear of missing the moment. I would just sit there next to him waiting, and he'd open it up, and he'd be like, curry! And I'd mouth it next to him, damn it, mommy. Every day, for months and months and months and months, this happened. And then finally, at the risk of breaking it all, I turned to Thiessen one day. He screams like, curry! Damn it, mommy! And I was like, Thiessen, you know it's gonna be curry every day. He said, what? I said, it's gonna be curry every single day. Every day you open the bread, and then every day you're shocked and you're like, curry, damn it, mommy. But it's always gonna be curry. And he said, I know, Trevor, I know. I'm not shocked, I'm just disappointed. Right, because every single day, right, I come to school and then every day I'm like, I'm gonna eat lunch, and then every day I open a box and I know what it's gonna be because last night we had the curry. Then what my mom does is she takes last night's curry, then she put it in a sandwich for me, and then that's the curry that I'm gonna have today. Then I know when I go home tonight, I'm gonna eat the curry, then I know that's the curry that's coming the next day. So every single day I'm getting curry, it's curry, and then it's gonna be more curry and more curry. Trevor, I know I'm Indian, but it's too much, man. I just want something different, you know? They say variety is the spice of life, not just curry. I was like, oh, but Thiessen, is it bad? He said, I don't even know anymore. I lost perspectives. Here, you can have it. And he gave me his curry sandwich. I bit it. And Toronto, there are moments in your life that will forever shape who you are. Moments that will define who you grow on to be. This was one of those moments for me. I put that sandwich in my mouth. I bit down and my mouth came alive. My tongue discovered its purpose. I didn't know potatoes could pop like that. The flavors were bouncing around. My eyes opened wide. It was, I was like, curry! Thank you, mommy. And I said, Thiessen, this is amazing. You eat this every day? And he's like, every damn day. And I was like, well, okay, let's swap.
I'll give you my money for tuck shop, and then you give me your curry food every day. And we did that. We traded. And let me tell you something now. You thought we were best friends before we turned into soulmates. Yeah, because we both got everything we dreamed of, right? I got to have a home-cooked meal every single day, and as an Indian person, he got to start a business. Thiessen was in heaven. It was perfect. And since then, I've loved curry. So, fast forward many decades, we're in Edinburgh, Scotland. Going out with my friends, we're choosing a spot. I choose Indian, authentic Indian. We get to the place, and it's legit. Like, it is legit. We walk in, and there's Indian music playing. There are Indian people eating, Indian cooks in the back, Indian waiters, Indian guards on the wall. I'm like, this is it. I'm home. We walked in, we sat down. And as soon as we sat, one of my friends, Steve, launches for the menu. And I was like, Steve, it's cool, man. I'll just order for everyone at the table. And he's like, oh, that's fine, Trevor. I'll order for myself, thank you. I was like, no, it's not about that, Steve. I just prefer to order for all of us, yeah? Right? You good? He's like, I don't know why that's necessary. I think I'll just order for myself. Is that okay? I was like, it's not. No, it's not okay, Steve. It's not okay, right? Because you're probably gonna say some shit that's gonna embarrass me in front of my Indian people, right? And so I just need you to back off for a moment. He's like, I'm sorry, what would I say that could embarrass you in front of Indian people? I was like, I don't know, Steve, and I don't want it to happen. Just let me handle this, okay? He's like, let you handle this? Trevor, I'll have you know that I've eaten curry for many, many years. I'm like, Steve, this is not the time. Just let's not argue, okay? Let's not argue, it's not the time to argue. He's like, what do you mean? Why would I embarrass you? Why? I was like, there's no, you don't need to know why. Let's just not do it. He's like, no, why? Why? Because I'm white. I was like, you brought it up, not me, all right? I wasn't gonna bring up race, but you did, Steve, and now that you brought it up, let's talk about it. Every time I take my white friends to an ethnic restaurant, they always say some shit that embarrasses me. Every single time. Every time. Either they don't know how to pronounce the food, or they'll say some random shit. They'll be like, can I get that one, the papadoms? What do you call these ones? You know, they'll be like, can I get this one, but not spicy? Kill yourself! Can I get the curry, but not spicy? Kill yourself! How are you gonna ask for curry but not spicy? That's the whole point of curry. You want curry without the spice. Would you go to a sushi restaurant and ask for them to have the fish slightly boiled? No, I don't want the spice. Your forefathers went around the world killing people for the spice. Now you don't want it?
He grins.
Shut up and eat the spice, Steve. And he's there, he's like, Trevor, okay, I really don't understand where this is coming from, all right? I'm not gonna embarrass you. I understand curry. I was like, Steve, let's just leave it at that. I got you, okay? I got you, all right? I understand this way more than you. He's like, Trevor, I'm sorry. You're not more Indian than me. I was like, I'm sorry, what? He's like, yeah, you are not more Indian than me. I was like, kuch kuch hota hai. What the hell is that? Exactly. Don't tell me I'm not more Indian than you. You shut up. When the waiter comes here, you shut up. He's like, I'm not gonna shut up. I was like, you shut up. He's like, okay, fine, order then. And the waiter walks over. This beautiful Indian man. He's got his beautiful Indian garb, and he steps up. And I know Steve, I can see him questioning my authority out of the corner of my eye. And that's when I Trudeau'd. I was just a little too hyped. I wanted to show him that these were my people, and as the waiter got there, I didn't even let him speak. I just jumped up and I was like, good evening. I'm going to be ordering for the entire table, please. Could we please have 3 garlic raw naans? We're going to have 3 rumali rotis. Give us 1 shahi paneer, 1 palak paneer. You know what? We're going to have a Rogan Josh lamb, of course. Could we also please have 1 butter chicken for my Caucasian friends?
He rolls his eyes and jerks his thumb to the side.
And then we're going to have 3 samosas and 3 mango lassis to wash it all down. Thank you very much. I crushed it.
He taps his chest and points out toward the audience.
I could feel it. Everyone could feel it. They could feel something. Because the table went dead. The waiter just stared at me. At first I thought he was impressed. Then I realized he was confused. And this Indian man leans in looks me dead in the eye, and he's like...
He leans forward and squints.
Sorry, sir, could you repeat what you said? I can't hear what you were saying, right? You got a bit of an accent. And I was like, oh, shit! He's Scottish! I mean, I know he's Scottish. I mean, we're in Scotland, he's Scottish, but it's like he's Indian. I didn't expect that, right? Because the whole place is Indian. It's an Indian restaurant, the people eating were Indian, there's Indian gods on the wall. The guy was Indian, his beard was Indian, but his mouth was Shrek. I didn't expect that. And now he didn't understand me, because I Trudeau'd too much. I didn't need to try so hard. But then I realized I also couldn't stop. Because that would be racist.
Trevor wipes his brow.
So now, I've got the Scottish Indian man looking at me. Everyone's quiet and he's like, if you don't mind, laddie, could you order again a little slower this time, right? I don't hear what you said. You want me to place the entire order again? Ah, if you don't mind, I'm ready whenever you are. You know, I think everybody can order for themselves at the table. I don't think it's necessary for me to hold their hands. Everybody can order individually, and we can go from there, okay? We can go from there. And Steve was like, oh, I wish I could, but I'm so afraid I might offend someone. I think my friend here should order for us. Please, Trevor, go ahead. Go ahead. You're far more cultured than I am. I said, no, Steve, please, you can try your hand. I'm sure you know exactly what you want. He's like, no, but what if I say something embarrassing? The last thing I'd want to do is offend another person's culture, Trevor. I said, no, you can't offend anybody. There are no mistakes here, okay? We are all friends, okay? If anybody make a mistake, we forget about it. In fact, whatever happens today, we're all going to forget about it, okay? Just order. He's like, no, I wish I could. I really wish I could, but Trevor, please go. I said, no, you just order, Steve. He's like, oh, please, Trevor. I was like, order, bastard! Just order! The waiter was like, hey, there's no need to fight amongst yourselves. Look, clearly your friend's a little uncomfortable. Right, just order for him. He's like, yes, he's totally uncomfortable.
He scowls at his invisible companion.
Okay, could we please have three Romali rotis and three garlic naan, one shahi paneer, one palak paneer, and could we also get a lamb Rogan Josh, and we're also going to be having one butter chicken.
For your Caucasian friends.
For anybody. Anybody can enjoy different types of curry. They don't all have to be spicy. It doesn't matter as long as you participate. There is no wrong way.
Oh, you're so understanding, Trevor.
Yes, I am. Could we also please get the...
He pats his pockets and takes out an imaginary phone.
Why aren't you going to answer that? No, they can call me back later.
He's like, it's getting awkward. Just answer your phone. I'll wait.
Okay.
He gives a squinty smile and pumps his eyebrows as he raises the imaginary phone.
Hello?
He squeezes his eyes shut.
Yes, this is Trevor speaking. How can I help you? Yes, no, the one and the same. Can you get to the point? I can't talk right now. Can you tell me what you need? I can't speak for too long. Can you? No, there is nothing wrong with my voice. Can you just get... No, everything is fine. No, I have not been kidnapped. No. I have not been kidnapped. Everything is fine. This is not a secret message. Just, can you tell me what you need? No, we can talk later then. No, yeah, my voice is like this sometimes. Don't worry about that. Just be... No,
And I think I know my voice. I think I know my voice also. Yeah, well, I've been me my whole life, okay? I've been me my... Okay, fine, fine. We'll talk later. Okay. Love you too, mommy. Bye-bye.
It's the most awkward meal I've ever had in my life. I barely ate a thing. I sat there thinking about my life. We finally get up to leave. Steve is beaming from ear to ear. They walk out ahead of me, and as I'm leaving the restaurant, the waiter waves us off. He's like, good night, everybody. He's like, have a great night. And we wave at him, and he's like, hey, excuse me, before you go, hey, aren't you Trevor Noah? A comedian, right? I was like, yeah, why? He's like, oh no, because I totally got you, Trevor. I totally got you, Trevor.
Trevor frowns.
He's like, wait, what? Wait, you Indian? He's like, of course I'm Indian. Of course I'm Indian. All places Indian. I totally got you, huh? I said, well, I don't understand. He's like, you don't understand. I understand. You walked in. I said, look, Trevor, no one coming. Then you start talking with accent. I go, I also do accent. Then you were doing accent. Then I do accent. Then you were doing accent. You make joke. I make joke. Do you like joke? I was like, no, I don't like your joke. I don't like your joke. I thought I was about to get canceled. Do you see this shit? He's like, it was amazing. You were sweating so hard. Not from the curry, yeah? That was so funny, Trevor. I was like, it was not funny. My friends were laughing at me. He's like, I know. He's like, I wasn't scared, man. Why would you do that? He's like, because, Trevor, I take great joy in the pain and suffering of others. It's called Schadenfreude. Yo, Toronto, you guys have been amazing. Thank you so much for coming out. I love you all. Good night.
Trevor takes a deep bow. Audience members get to their feet. Trevor taps his chest and points up at the audience.
I love you guys so much. Good night, everybody.
Audio description provided by International Digital Center. Written by Liz Gutman. Voiced by Sri Gordon. Written and performed by Trevor Noah. Directed by David Paul Meyer. Executive producers Trevor Noah, Sanaz Yamin, Bob Bain, Norman Alijem, Derek Van Pelt. Supervising producer Ben Fleischman. Line producer Danny Sanchez. Director of photography Dylan Sanford. Lighting designer George Guntas. Production designer Star Khan. Stage manager, Benimar Almonte. Post-production supervisor, Sean Christopher Johnson. Edited by Catherine Trasberg. Credits continue. Copyright 2022, Netflix. Logos, Day Zero Productions. Bob Bain Productions. Mainstay Entertainment.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.